this week, just talking about the simplicity of reading the Word and the things that we need to tend to in our day-by-day living. Not too long ago, there was a great book written by Dr. David Jeremiah entitled Slaying the Giants in Your Life. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that book or if you've had a chance to read it. It's a very unique and powerful things, I think, that are in there that are applicable in many different situations. And so I was inspired to look at this particular photo. Yeah, big giant. Greater God, right? Greater God, like Todd was saying. He is the God of the universe, right? Now, David was actually fighting coming against a physical giant, wasn't he? Goliath was a large person. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. There's a lot of speculation as to how tall he really was, how much he weighed, how much his spear weighed, how much his shield weighed, how much his armor weighed. But the reality is it was probably bigger and more and whatever than you and I would, you know, want to wear around. Shaquille O'Neal's a big man. There's others who are big. And David probably, Goliath was in that range, if not bigger. But the thing is, with Goliath, he had an attitude. He had a bad attitude. He was a bully. And he was intimidating the love, let's say, right out of the troops. They were freaked out. They were afraid. And he took full advantage of that, that intimidation. So we're going to look at that record briefly here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You can go to that first slide there, Jeffrey. That'd be great. First Samuel 17, 1 says, the Philistines gathered their troops for battle. They assembled at, I'm not real good with all these words, but Succah, Judah. They camped in these couple of places. Show that map, would you? Actually, we'll go back to this one. Show that map, will you, please? This gives you a little better idea. Here's Bethlehem, Jerusalem. These are pretty important spots in light of this particular battle that took place. Here's the West Bank, Israel. Here's the valley. Here's the encampment of the two different sides of the Philistines. The Philistines were on one side. The Israelites were on the other with the valley in between them. And there became a champion out of the camp of the Philistines. His name was Goliath. This one says he was close to 7 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and was wearing scale body armor. The weight of his bronze body armor was 5,000 shekels. You can figure that out. And so this was a skilled, bad, you fill in the blank, a soldier. I mean, we think of SEALs and Green Berets and all these different things that happen. But this guy came out, and day after day after day, for 40 days, he challenged the armies of Israel. You remember his words? I don't know. You probably haven't read this record recently. And this is just kind of laying a foundation here. In verse 8, it says, Goliath stood and called to Israel's troops, "Why do you come out to prepare for battle? Am I not the Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose for yourselves a man so he may come down to me. If he is able to fight with me, strike me down, we'll become your servants. But if I prevail against him, strike him down, you will become our servants and you'll serve us." He said, "I defy Israel's troops this day. Give me a man that we may fight each other." Day after day after day for 40 days, it says. This big giant came out in front of the troops and called out this battle cry with the Philistines' believers? No. No. He says, I defy the armies of the living God. And so when Paul and all the Israelites heard these words of the Philistine, they were upset and what? They were afraid. You know, fear is not a good thing, right? You ever been afraid of anything? Fear defeats the promises of God. Fear is sand in the machinery of life. Fear is the thing that defeats people in their day-by-day living. Fear makes cowards out of us all. All we want to do, we come up against the enemy, you know what we want to do sometimes? Tuck tail and run the other way. But there came along somebody who had a little different type of attitude, didn't he? Go back to that first slide there, Jeffrey, please. This is kind of a cool thing. David didn't need to know Goliath's strength because he already knew God's. Who was David? He was the youngest son. He was a boy. They had come to before Saul. All of the brothers had come before Saul to be selected for service in the army. And David, because he was young, he was told to go back to the tending sheep. But you know, when David went back to tending sheep, it wasn't a meaningless little job, I don't think. And actually, there is a greater truth that we can really learn from this record. Many times when we talk about slaying the giants in our life, we're talking about things like fear, discouragement, hopelessness, anger, financial worries, other things that come up against us, temptations. You fill in the blank. But I want to look at this from a little different point of view today. Maybe you could put up that beginning of that PowerPoint. And here's the question. Are you prepared? We're going to talk about this a little bit today. You know, if you've ever been on a tour in Israel, many times you'll go to these different famous locations. And one of the most famous is where this battle occurred in the Valley of Elah. And do you know that there are so many pebbles picked up in that particular area that the country of Israel and the government has to bring in pebbles by the truckload so that people can gather pebbles to commemorate this thing? Every day, many times, the Board of Tourism brings in a load of pebbles so that tourists can have a little keepsake. But what does that mean? That means Christians were leaving with a pocket full of pebbles, fueled inspiration based on something that wasn't really true, huh? Yeah, because these were just little rocks that were brought in. They weren't part of the original rocks. You know, there's something I think a great truth to be learned from this record of David. And we've all heard it. We've all preached it. We've taught it in children's fellowship. We've made little cutouts and figurines. And, you know, maybe the moment I say David and Goliath, your mind just goes, I've heard this so many times. You've seen it on TV, you've seen the big guy and the little guy, and you know that David took something insignificant, supposedly, and took him, gathered these stones out of the lake and had this little tiny slingshot, and it looks like the impossible odds, and God came through on his side. But what does that mean to us? What does that mean to you? Nice record. But are we teaching really the correct lesson? Because often the lesson sounds like this. You may be small and you may be weak like David, but if you use whatever insignificant pebbles you have and trust God, you can defeat the giants in your life and God can do a miracle. That sound familiar? I probably have shared the very same thing. It sounds great. Very motivational. You know what? With God's help, I can defeat the giant problems in my life. Financial problems, marital problems, parental problems, job problems, you name it. With God on my side and a little bit of faith, I can't lose. Does this sound familiar? But is the lesson to be learned here in this record, and whether we'll read it in its entirety today, I don't know. But is this lesson of David and Goliath really about fighting my giant enemies? Or is it about fighting God's enemies? This is a really good point here, guys. You think David went into the battle there trying to overcome his own personal struggles that day? What if the lesson is more about spiritual warfare for the kingdom of God and not about achieving my best by defeating my personal giants? Because then you know what it becomes? All about me and my weaknesses and my giants and what I need to do to get my... We've all done it. What about spiritual warfare? What if the pebbles in the slingshot are not to teach us to trust whatever limited resources we have, but to teach us to be so intentional about developing our spiritual skills, strength, and courageous faith that when spiritual attacks hit us, we can stand and fight with God on our side? What if David's lack of armor is not to teach us we don't need armor, but to teach us to use spiritual tactics to keep us outside of Satan's reach while we fight him and stay on the offensive? You know, David never got into a close personal conflict with the giant. He didn't, did he? He didn't get in Goliath's space. He was on the offensive. It says he ran towards the giant. But he was using some wisdom, too. Good point to remember. And here it is. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for spiritual warfare? Because the enemy disguises it in the senses world. And then it all becomes about us. My problems. My problems are so huge. My problem. And yet I seem to remember that behind every problem is a spiritual cause. So where do we get the perspective and the wisdom to see what's really going on? Because it's so well disguised out there. So let's just call it what it is. David was not fighting his giant personal enemies. He was fighting God's enemy. This giant was defying the armies of the living God, right? David goes on to say this. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this guy? Some big, tall, loudmouth bully who's coming in here and freaking out all of these skilled Israeli fighters? David was bold, wasn't he? That was in 1 Samuel 17:26. Wow. He was fighting God's enemies. You know what? David wasn't even supposed to be in the battle, right? He was just delivering supplies. His father had sent him to see his brothers. You know what Goliath was doing? Challenging God's honor. So David stepped forward to fight for God's honor. In verses 46 through 47, if you're still there, it says, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who've gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For what? The battle is the Lord's. And he will give all of you into our hands." Once again, David was not fighting his personal enemies. He was fighting God's enemy in that particular situation. He showed up in the form of Goliath, the biggest, baddest soldier you could ever find on the face of this earth, man. You would be tucking your tail and run so far the other way. That was like the report from Caleb, but from the other guys who went out to scope out the promised land. They come back and they say, "Oh my God, these guys are huge." Totally freaked out. Afraid. But David had faith that God would give him the victory because he was fighting for God, not fighting for his own benefit. "Oh, look at me. I'm going to go in there and defeat the man." So can the assumption really be made from this story that God will give us the victory when we are fighting our own personal giants? You know, that's the Word of God is much deeper than just what it looks like on the senses level sometimes. Jesus was always trying to communicate an abstract truth many times by parables and stories. And the disciples were kind of scratching their head going, "Whatever. We don't understand." The reality is, many times you'll never defeat all the giants in your life, as hard as you may try. So why let one thing stop you from being all that God has called you to be? You know, it's like kind of like saying you wear glasses. You'll never be as much as you can possibly be, Dan, unless you get those glasses off and get healed. You know what? Take whatever things you have and utilize those for the advancement of the kingdom. You know what I mean? Sure, you want personal growth and these sort of things, but we don't let things stop us from moving forward. And that's a great record, I think, there too. You know, what makes us think that David was so weak or small? He was just a little old boy, you know, out there tending the sheep, and you know, he really didn't know much about fighting. And, you know, I mean, what mind picture do we have of who David is, what he did? You know, verse 34 through 36 of 1 Samuel 17, David recounts something to Saul, and he said, "When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it." You know what? That takes some huevos, right? "And I did what? I struck it, and it rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. Chasing a bear or a lion with his bare hands? Seriously? How do you do that without weapons? Now, does that really sound weak or small to you? You know, you need big hands, strong arms and legs to do that. And David was in a prime environment to really hone his skills. What about the slingshot and pebbles? Were they a weak or inferior weapon? Maybe not. You know, we get this mind picture, it's a little tiny, you know. Well, there was a book written called David and Goliath, Underdogs and the Art of Battling Giants, that gives a little different perspective. And it points out that the armies at that time had three kinds of warriors: the cavalry on horseback, the infantry with swords and spears, and what we would call artillery, archers, and a group called slingers. Slingers had a leather pouch attached on two sides by a long strand of rope. They would put a rock or a lead ball into the pouch, swing it around in increasingly wide and faster circles, then release one end of the rope, hurling the rock forward. Maybe you've seen a demonstration of how exactly that happens. If not, look on YouTube today. These professional soldiers, they kind of sound a lot like David, don't they? How effective was this weapon in the hands of a man who had practiced diligently like David had? Let me tell you, devastating. Paintings from medieval times show slingers hitting birds in mid-flight. Irish slingers were able to hit a coin from as far away as they could see it. And in the Old Testament book of Judges, slingers are described as being accurate within a hair's breadth. An experienced slinger could kill or seriously injure a target at a distance of up to 200 yards. The Romans even had a special set of tongs made just to remove stones that had been embedded into some poor soldier's body by a sling. This was a much more powerful weapon than just little David, you know, and he knocked the giant down. A ballistics expert with the Israeli Defense Forces recently did a series of calculations showing that a typical sized stone hurled by an expert slinger at a distance of 35 meters would have hit Goliath's head with a velocity of 34 meters per second, more than enough to penetrate his skull. And in terms of stopping power, that is equivalent to a fair-sized modern handgun. That's a lot of strength. That's a lot of power. How did David hone this skill? What was he doing out there tending sheep? He was in training. He didn't know when God was going to call him to the battlefield, did he? But boy, once he got to the battlefield, guess what? He was prepared. So maybe David's slingshot and stones were not all that inferior to Goliath's weapons. Maybe the point is that, like David, perfecting his fighting skills by practicing day after day after day during what you would consider the boring job of protecting sheep, maybe we need to learn a lesson and hone our skills at spiritual warfare in the humdrum, mundane routine of everyday life. Because the devil would love to do nothing than just to lull Christians to sleep. And then, when the attack is on, you don't even recognize it as an attack. You don't even see it, much less know what to do. See. So we're faithful in those little things, like Todd said, speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is huge. See, that we make this warfare prayer a lifestyle. See, and we'll be prepared to go against God's enemies. You know that David did not conform to Goliath's battle plan. Goliath had a plan. He said, I'm going to shock and awe. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I am this big, bad, well-trained, intimidating soldier, and I'm going to freak this guy out so badly, and he's going to come into my house. And I'm going to tell him and give him a lesson. Well, he'll never forget. Of course he won't. He'll be dead. But David used a different tactic than Goliath, didn't he? With that sword and that armor, you know what? Goliath needed close range, hand to hand, up close and personal combat. So he called David to come to him. But you know what David did? He refused. He didn't go into Goliath's personal space, did he? No. He actually fired the weapon from outside of Goliath's reach. While the range of a spear was only as far as the arm could throw it, a sling was lethal at distances of over 100 yards. Goliath didn't stand a chance. David used a missile against a rifle. He stayed out of the giant's reach. He stayed out of Goliath's reach. Goliath wanted him up close and personal, and I will kill you and cut your, and whatever. So, what's the lesson? Maybe one thing that could be learned is the tactics for us to stay out of the devil's wheelhouse, the devil's house, Satan's reach. We don't fight by his rules. We don't try to reason with the enemy. Because you know what? You will lose. Because he is the father of lies. He is the deceiver. We don't get into a close hand-to-hand combat. Adam and Eve lost. You don't put yourself and see how close you can get to temptation without being sucked in. You keep as far away from it as possible. So I want to look at these four different things just briefly. Training, tools, tactics, and yes, trust. So let's go to this first one, Jeffrey. Training. Day after day in the sheepfold, David did the hard work that prepared him to face Goliath. Because he was diligent in the farm field, he was ready for the battlefield. He trained for the battle by the way he lived out his daily responsibilities. And in the end, Goliath was not nearly as dangerous as bears and lions. And David had plenty of experience in those situations. But what was he doing day by day by day by day? Practicing. Training. And so then the question just automatically comes up. Are we constantly training in spiritual warfare? In everyday life? So that we can fight for God's honor and the kingdom when the big crises of life come along? It's a good question. See? How do you train? I mean, you know, I thought about Timothy where it talks about the analogy of a soldier and how he disciplines himself. Anybody who's been in the military understands that the military is really trying to force and instill a disciplinary lifestyle. You handle crises in our lives, your life, because of the details of day by day living. This is exactly how you do it. Where's that second slide, please? And the second thing here is the tools that David used. He trusted the natural abilities that God gave him. He honed those into powerful fighting skills. He knew his weapon. He trusted his weapon. He used his weapon instead of trying to borrow weapons from somebody else. And they were being offered. You know, here, take my sword. Take my armor. You know. David knew how to use his weapon. And he was very, very, very skilled at it. And I understand this is a challenging question. But are you developing your spiritual strength and courage as intentionally as you work on developing your physical strength or your mental power or your finances? You know, I'll bet more people spend time balancing their checkbook sometimes than they do speaking in tongues. I hope I'm wrong. But good question. What kind of time are we spending developing what long suits and abilities God's given to each and every one of us? They're all different. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, helps in governments, people who are skilled in giving, ministering, teaching, all sorts of things. You don't have to have a reverend in front of your name to be effective in the body of Christ. See? But utilize and hone and develop those skills that God's gifted you with. See? Let's look at that next one, please. And that's tactics. Can you fight the devil while staying out of his reach? Or are you usually on the offensive rather than the defensive? You fight warfare smart. Good questions, really. Training, tools, tactics. Overall question is, are you prepared? Or when a crisis comes along, does your mind sort of just implode? And then it's 911. 911. Ah! And finally, our last one here. Something that David said. The Lord will rescue me. The Lord will deliver you into my hands. The Lord saves. For the battle is what? The Lord's. The Lord's. David wanted to be prepared by training hard, bringing the right tools, using the right tactics. But trusting God is really what inspires courage and it fuels victory. Because the battle belongs to the Lord. It may look like us fighting it, but over and over and over it talks about the battle belongs to the Lord. Matter of fact, in our administration, it says we already have the victory. We're approaching situations and circumstances from the vantage point perspective of victory. And you might ask, well, you know what? It sounds to me like David won the battle, not God. How can God get the credit if we do all the training? Bring the right tools, bring and use the right tactics. Their answer is, was and is, God is the one who gave David and us the natural ability. God gave David and us the opportunities to train and develop them. God gave us the courage. David's confidence was in the Lord, not in himself, not in his ability, not in his tools, not in his tactic, his smarts, his personality, and a lot of other things. See? David's confidence was in the Lord. And honestly, military history teaches that the best training, tools, tactics, they do not always win battles. Plans and people often fail. Leaders sometimes snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Battles are often determined by intangible factors. So in the end, after we do all we can to be prepared, the battle belongs to the Lord. It is God who gives the victories in our life and in our ministries. Go back to that very first slide about David knew God's promises. Yeah. He didn't need to know Goliath's strengths. He wasn't freaked out or intimidated by Goliath. He knew God's power. He knew who God was. So you know what? Lesson learned, that we don't necessarily confuse our fighting our personal giants with fighting God's enemies. And making promises he never does, or depend on him to show up with a miracle when life or ministry and the things that we do gets tough. God will show up with miracles, no doubt. But you know what? We're fighting for God's honor. You know, it's so cool. Like, you think about the military of our country. It looks like a person. But you know what? They're fighting for the honor of the United States of America. Oh, yeah, they're in war, killing people, all sorts of things. But the true heart and integrity behind all of the armed forces is to honor. David was a man of honor. That's us. We're fighting on behalf and for God's honor and for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he accomplished on our behalf. We have all the tools that are needed for the competition. There's really no more tools to get. So maybe the thing is, take the tools you've already been given and utilize those. And that we become skilled with the tools and we become wise with our tactics. And we trust that when we fight for God, in his name, holding up the shield of faith, remember? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The shield. Our shields together. You know, the turtle? We're stronger together than we are as individuals. We trust in that name. We pray in that name. We minister in that name. We talk in that name. And the victory and the glory goes to God. The tendency is to so much say, I won the victory. I did this. Somehow. It's cool when God works something, you know it's God, okay? There's no question in your mind, you know it was God who pulled something off on your behalf. You don't have any problem saying that. God did this for me. God blew my mind. He did something that I could never have done in my own ability and in my own strength. So, some things to think about in this record of David and Goliath. Are you prepared? What are you doing for your training? The tools that are at your resources. There's a lowly shepherd out there. Do you know what? The guy was fearsome. And he killed Goliath from probably 100 or 50 yards away. With something as powerful as a 45 caliber handgun. Now, he honed his skill. He had nothing to be afraid of because he had all the training, all the tools, he had the right tactics, but most importantly, he trusted. He trusted. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, 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 wonderful Word of God. Father, you've made us to be more than conquerors, and just like that song says, God, that we can just lift our hands, lift our hearts to you, God, and just celebrate. Thank you, Lord, that you've enabled us and gifted us with many, many things, and that we do whatever it takes to, in our own way, simple ways, Father, just fight for your honor. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us and care for us in the way you do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.